Do you know how hard it is to catch a chicken? Have you seen Rocky?
That is true.
It's so hard to catch a chicken.
It's quite hard because then you're putting a lot of people out of work.
But I don't even care about the other people. It's just like really inconvenient for me to go out into that field and catch a wild chicken.
Hear ye, my people, and welcome to If I Ruled the World podcast, where I speak to young people at the Big House about what the world would look like if they were in charge. The Big House is an organization that offers long-term support for care-affected people, young people with experience with things like social care, the criminal justice system, or housing authorities, maybe because of challenging circumstances in their early life. This week, on today's episode, we are speaking to...
Becky,
it never gets techie. Everything is simple like a dimple. That was on the spot.
That was quick.
That was really
impressive.
That was really good.
Let's do some clicks.
So, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions about if you ruled the world and what would you do? Yeah. So, I'm going to ask you a series of questions and how you plan on switching things up. And depending on your answers, myself and the listeners will decide if you are deserving of this position.
I'm ready.
So first things first, tell us who you are. What do you like to do, Becky?
I like writing.
Okay.
Yeah. I wrote a play. It's called I'm Allergic to People.
Wow.
And that's how I feel about people.
Yeah. Good, good, good.
And the story is all about how far can someone go for revenge? Mm-hmm. Particularly countless times in the criminal justice system, women are let down when it comes to things like trying to get justice for rape or sexual assault or things like domestic abuse. And why is a woman wrong for seeking her own revenge when she's been let down so much? And that's kind of the whole question of the play.
Yeah.
But as a dark comedy, because...
Wait, it's a dark comedy?
Yeah.
Oh,
you need to laugh.
Okay.
Yeah, because if it was too serious, the people who need to watch it would just tap out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I really like comedy, because you can get your message across in a way that people who need to hear it are actually going to hear it.
What makes you a suitable candidate for this role?
I think when you look at who's in the government, particularly in this country right now, it's usually made up of the same types of people, straight white men who are quite old, who have gone to private school. You don't really get like northerners who are state educated, care experienced, had a single parent, queer. And I think you need people that make up the whole of the country.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'll be a good candidate, because the people who aren't represented right now, I could represent.
So this is a big job. Ruling the world is huge.
It is.
There are a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life. There's a lot of animals and a lot of waters and a lot of lands and a lot of languages.
That's true.
So this job is so big that you're probably going to need some help, which means you're probably going to recruit some people. Who would you recruit to be in your cabinet and why?
I think like what we were speaking about before is that the people running the country should reflect the people in the country. So I would want people who are passionate about, like I'm really passionate about like speaking up about the treatment of women and like queer people. People who are like not necessarily experienced, but passionate about other intersectionalities of people. And I think that's what would make a good cabinet, I guess. I really feel like you just need like a 7-year-old kid in the cabinet.
Okay.
Because growing up, you have to wait so long to have a say. And sometimes when you're talking to kids, they actually like have got it all figured out sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see like, I think the youngest prime minister was what, Rishi Sunak, and he's, wasn't he like 42, 43 when he was prime minister? Like, you can't say that's young.
So you're thinking that you want people from different walks of life?
Yeah, definitely.
And definitely a child in there. Just one child?
Be a bit lonely for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I can have two.
Okay. So minimum two children. So you're all set up. So you've got your team.
Sorted.
You're running the world. Now it's time for your coronation. And we're not talking about the street. Yeah. It's a big celebration. So where is it?
Okay.
Who's coming? What are you wearing? And what will the feast consist of?
I don't want a coronation.
No coronation.
I remember when King Charles had his coronation and it was like, what, 50, 70? I can't remember if it was million or billion, but it was a heck of a lot of money. And I was like still living up north and like everything was really crap and there's no money invested. And I was like, you could really use that money to a better use. So I think instead of having a coronation, I'd want to put that money into making like free transport.
So, okay, there's no celebration.
Oh, I forgot to say though. Mm. I do feel like people need to have fun.
Yeah.
There's not enough fun in this world.
Okay.
So I'd use the money to make like for one day all the cinemas or like theme parks. Anything that's like fun, but you have to pay money for it, like swimming pools, make all those free for a day.
And it's like so your coronation is like a leisure day.
Yeah.
A day just of straight leisure.
Yeah.
And everyone just having a great time.
Mm.
Love that. So now it's time to pick a national anthem now that you've been coronated.
Mm. I find national anthem so weird because I used to be a swimmer and it was so weird to me. Like if you got a gold medal at Olympics, you like listen to that and act really proud. And it's like, what has the king done for your gold medal? And it's like, I feel like in those circumstances, like, why can't you just play your favourite song?
So what is your favourite song then?
I really like Chapel Rowan at the moment. Yeah, have you listened to her?
Are you talking about Pink Pony Club?
Oh, I do like that song, actually.
So would that be our national anthem?
Maybe, but I also feel like it depends on circumstances. So like, if a national anthem's being played because someone won a gold medal, that person can play their favourite song.
Okay.
And when else does national anthem get played?
I don't know, but this is going to be like an international anthem for your coronation. You know what I mean? Everyone's like throwing petals and uncooked rice at you. Everything's going off. You know what I mean? They're like, Becky, Becky. What is playing in the background?
What if you did like a competition and somebody like created the song? I quite like that. And then
who's competing? Is Chapel Rowan in the competition?
Yeah, she can compete.
Okay.
And anyone like.
But that means she can't use Pink Pony Club.
Oh. Does that mean it has to be a new song?
Let's sing it. Pink Pony Club. I'm going to keep dancing in the Pink Pony Club. Is it club or girls?
Club. Pink Penny Club.
Club. Shout out Chapel Roan.
Shout out.
All right. So now you get the choice to introduce a new bank holiday.
I'm really excited about this.
Wonderful. So, let's do it.
I was doing a lot of research about this. So, you know, during the AIDS pandemic, around like particularly the 90s and not 90s, sorry, like 80s and early 90s. A lot of the doctors didn't want to treat the men with AIDS because they didn't want to get a gay disease. And there was so many doctors and nurses that would refuse to treat men with AIDS.
Mm.
And then lesbian nurses stood up and was like, they need treating. And particularly in the UK, there was this woman called Flick. I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but her surname is like T-H-O-R-L-E-Y. So like Forley.
T-H-O-R-L-E-Y. Thorley?
I think so.
Yeah.
She was one of the pioneers who in the UK was like, got a group together of lesbian nurses and they started treating the men with AIDS. And particularly in America, this was a big thing. They was called the Blood Sisters because that's like how it spread. Well, not always blood, you know what I mean.
Mm.
And I think that's a story that should be shared. So I think her birthday, because she's still alive, and I tried to reach out to her, but she didn't answer.
She's alive?
Yeah. Well, it was early the 80s.
That brings us on to our next question. It's time to get to work. So you got all the money in the world.
Perfect.
You know what I'm saying?
Literally.
What's the first thing that you will do with it?
They do this in Scotland, where if you're from a disadvantaged background, you're going to school, you actually get paid to go to school. I'd make that a thing everywhere because I feel like...
Like a bursary.
Yeah. They literally get like 30 quid a week.
What?
I would get rid of the idea. You know, like when you're 16 and you get minimum wage, but an 18-year-old gets paid more. Literally just because they're older.
Yeah.
That's going.
Okay.
Because I remember when I was 14, I got my first job and it was £4.50 an hour. And it was like the hardest. I used to work in a chippy and it was awful.
All right, cool. So what law are you going to introduce to the world now that you rule it?
So you know the Equality Act that was made in 2010?
Yes.
Class isn't on there. So legally, you can prejudice against people who are like working class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely legal. So I'd add class to the list.
I like that.
Yeah. So you know on a jury, there's like 12 people who decided they're guilty or not guilty.
Yes.
But only one judge makes a decision on the sentencing.
Mm.
I think it should be 12 people as well, or even just a second person, because it's like, have you heard of Dr. Shipman?
Dr. Shipman?
Yeah. He's basically a doctor who killed like 200 people and got away with it for so long because he just wrote the death certificates. So now there's like the Shipman effect is that two people have to confirm a deaf, like a medical examiner and a doctor to stop like serial killers, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everybody knows like some judges are horrible to certain people's. Like I have a friend who punched somebody and got 2 years in prison and they had no criminal sentence. And well, he's black and got loads of tattoos.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can see the correlation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think, why is it only one person?
What would you put on the school curriculum?
I generally think a lot of hate in this world is created from lack of understanding or ignorance.
100%.
So I would want on a curriculum people being taught about like queer people, queer people, trans people, anybody who, like particularly where I'm from, is all like white people. So like people teaching people about other intersections of people. Because I think, I don't understand why that's not being taught already. Or like, for instance, it's only recently in some schools they've been taught sign language. And it's like, why has the deaf community been so marginalised for so long?
Yeah.
And who's teaching them, like, what gives somebody a right to teach them sign language?
Yeah.
And I think certain things like that need to be in a curriculum. Like, I think it should be queer people, like, coming into schools and doing, like, a workshop.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's even, like, when you're being taught. I remember being taught in school and this teacher was reading a book and we was learning about disabled people. And it was just somebody in a wheelchair. And I feel like because if you see a disabled toilet, it's obviously got the wheelchair on it. But with people with hidden disabilities, it's like, what are we trying to teach? Stereotypes are actually facts.
My school was a terrible school. It doesn't even exist anymore. But they used to bring people from like different walks of life. And like, I remember I was really understanding, I started to really understand what homelessness was when two guys come in to do a workshop at my school. And it made me more aware of like what people go through. And then there was people that come from prisons and it would come through. But one interesting day, we were learning about sex education. So, you know, you learn sex education twice.
I didn't actually have sex education.
What?
Yeah. And they wonder why teen pregnancy is so big.
In Grimsby or just in general?
In, I think in the whole of the county, Lincolnshire as a whole.
That is so crazy. You know, when we were learning about sex education, so like the schools that I went to, usually you learn it in year six on the final year of school, like just generally like the scientific way.
Yeah.
And then you learn it more like on an intimate level when you get to like year nine, year 10. So we were meant to learn about this. And I remember this day vividly because there was a humanities teacher and he was gay. And well, we didn't know he was gay, but we assumed he was gay. Yeah. And I remember, so he's about to start the session and it's just boys in the classroom. And it is a
Why did he do that?
Yeah, that was another thing.
Weird.
Yeah, it was mad. But you know what? Maybe it was just about comfortability. Do you know what I mean? And maturity.
Maybe.
Maybe they were like, let's just teach the boys about the boys stuff first and teach the girls about the girl stuff first. And then what they should do is then join together and then understand the whole process. But they didn't do that. So they've got a room with 30 young boys who are all around 14, 15 years old in a room with like 100 purple dicks just everywhere. Just loads of purple dicks. Like everywhere you turn, there's a purple dick. I don't even know why they were purple as well. Like, why were they all purple? I don't, maybe they would, you know what? Maybe they were trying to like keep it like inclusive. They didn't want to indicate anything. Do you know what I mean? Cause then you start choosing certain colors. People get ideas anyway. So, and it was condoms and they were teaching us how to put on condoms. Before the session was even able to start, there was a basket full of condoms and all these purple dicks everywhere. And one boy stands up and he says, I'm not going to be taught about sex education by someone who's gay.
Oh.
I swear to you. I swear to you. And the guy was like just struck because it's like he's literally trying to educate us on our own sexual organs, but he's not getting it. Anyway, long story short, that boy's been kicked out of the classroom. But because it was a really, really bad school, like, you know, backup teachers come in with the keys jangling and the radios and all of that stuff. And there's a whole argument going on outside between this student and these three teachers. And they've just abandoned a classroom with like 30 kids and purple dicks. So what have we done? We're having sword fights. We are fighting with these plastic penises. So many penises just go chack, 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 chack. And we're throwing condoms at each other. And we're blowing up like balloons with our hands and we're doing this.
You see them on the buses.
Yeah, we learned nothing. We learned nothing that day. It was just chaos. So definitely definitely understand that we do need to introduce that. We need to teach people that there are other people from different walks of life, that people have their own sexual orientations, and that they, and, you know, you need to be open and accepting and understanding. And so that it's better for the world to, I don't know, connect,
I guess. It's like, even when I'm talking to somebody about my condition, I'm like, they're asking like 10,000 questions.
How does your condition come up in conversation?
Because I struggle with my mobility. So when I'm stood up a lot, I have to sit down because I get pains or I move a lot. So it's quite obvious when I'm in like a group setting.
Yeah.
And when people don't, I had somebody come up to me like, what's wrong with your legs? And I was like, I don't know how to answer that. Because I was just so in shock.
Yeah.
And I just think if that was taught in school more about hidden disabilities and like you can't know everything.
Yeah.
Then there'd be a more understanding on everybody.
So you think they should definitely introduce that into the school curriculum, like not only just your obvious like physical disabilities, but there's other disabilities that go under the radar that people are challenged with, but they still have to And it makes people a lot more aware, because you still get on with work, you still work, you still like educate yourself, you're still creative, you're still doing things. It doesn't make you different. You just have your own personal challenge. You just want to sit down and
literally,
chill.
Literally, that's all I need to do. I just need to sit down.
What would you abolish?
Private schools.
Ooh.
I don't understand how it's okay. For instance, I think Eton College has three massive theatres, all functioning. Like, people who work there are professional people, so obviously they get to network the kids who are there. Why can't a kid, like, from Grimsby have the same? Everybody deserves to be able to read and write. Everybody deserves to have the basics. Well, even more than the basics, really. And I just think it's really daft how, like with Oxford and Cambridge unis, how like pretty much everybody's from private school. I just don't understand it. I saw a really interesting thing. It was like private schools make CEOs and state schools make workers.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it is also like based on location, which I don't understand. You can't dictate where you're born. If I were a leader, you have to work out. For me personally, I don't understand why there's not free education for everybody in the whole entire world. I don't understand why people still don't have clean water or access to food.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's mind-boggling. And I would want that for everybody. Well, this is another argument. So when you're looking at opportunities, a lot of opportunities are up to 25.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Why are you suddenly like a brainiac at 26?
Yeah.
Nothing changes. Like, I would abolish that. If you want an opportunity, have it at 90. I don't care. It's not going to affect my life if you take it at 25 or 30. I don't care. If you want to learn to read at 30 instead of 3, good for you.
So are we abolishing age limits on these opportunities?
Yes, and age... Oh, I don't know, actually. Like, age reductions, because that means that anybody...
Do you think, though, that a 16-year-old could make a well-informed decision on who should be running the country?
I do, because I think that life experience, you can be 16 but have a mind of a 30-year-old, and you can be 16 and have a mind of an 8-year-old.
Very true. Very, very, very
and
true.
I don't think, I really struggled with this because I've always been very mature for my age. I was like a 10-year-old but knew everything about taxes.
Yeah.
Because trying to work out why my mum was getting paid so little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's because she was in a different tax bracket. Yeah. I think it's very stereotypical, and it's almost putting people in boxes to assume that they can't. Because 16-year-old me was probably smarter than 18-year-old me. And it's also, you can fight for this country at 16, but you can't vote.
Yeah.
I find that very weird.
Strange.
You could die for this country at 16, but never have voted for the current prime minister.
What are you going to do about the rise in AI?
Let it. I feel like it's normal. It's like, if you look at like back in the day, like thousands of years ago, you've got like the Ice Age and you've got the Stone Age. We're in the AI age. That's how I feel it. If you want, I think you have to impact
that. Do you use AI?
I don't actually. I don't think, I've used ChatGPT once.
Okay.
To Google how to, no, it's really bad. You know, when you're in the argument and you need like a good, what do you call it?
Like a rebuttal.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I asked ChatGPT for one.
Yeah. Did they give you a good one?
They did actually. I won the argument. I was really proud of myself. Didn't
what?
It was worth it.
Not you in line with the robots. All right, go on.
But I think with the rise in AI, you have to impact the environmental factors.
Okay.
I'm very one with the environment. Well, one with the, I don't know how you would word it, but I think animal testing, gone. That was one thing for abolishing.
Okay.
I don't understand why that's, go. Yes.
Yeah.
And I also think if you want to eat meat, you should kill it yourself, because that would stop people actually, because people, I think a lot of people don't realise how animals are actually killed. Unless, obviously, if they like have halal meat, they know. But I think if you want to eat meat, kill it.
Well, okay, let's say you're craving some wings.
Mm.
Do you know how hard it is to catch a chicken? Have you seen Rocky?
That is true.
It's so hard to catch a chicken.
It's quite hard because then you're putting a lot of people out of work.
But I don't even care about the other people. It's just like really inconvenient for me to go out into that field and catch a wild chicken. So now here I am, chickenless. And then I realize, wait, Becky knows how to catch chickens. Okay, Bex, listen, I need a chicken. And now you're like, all right, I can sell this chicken for you. And I've told other people because they're like, yo, you can't catch a chicken. How did you get that? Oh, no, Becky, like she got it for me. What?
I see your point. I feel like too many animals. I saw a statistic where if we killed humans the same rate as we kill animals, we'll be extinct in 17 days. Yeah, it's insane. And I think so many people are desensitized from how the burger got to be a burger. There needs to be something in place where people know exactly, whether it's like everything has to be from a British farm, you go to the farm and see how it runs. Something like that.
So, in all of this, do you still want the responsibility of ruling the world?
I almost don't feel like it would just be me, because like we said before, it'd be like a whole cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a discussion, and little 7-year-old me would love it. If I told her, oh, you can rule the world in 13 years, she'd be like, wicked. I remember being like 7 and talking to my teachers and being like, well, why don't we do this? And they was like, because no. But why? So I feel like sometimes people think it's a huge responsibility, which it is. But it's also quite simple, because you just have to listen to people. Like, people are being very clear right now what they want. Mm. They want fair wages. They want better housing. Just provide it. It's your job. Just listen to the people. They put you there.
Go on.
Yeah. And if the worst comes to worst, I can just do a list trust and just leave in 40 days. You know what I mean? Like,
there you have it, ladies and gents. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Becky, for joining us. We really do appreciate you. Ladies and gents, you have now tuned in to X and Becky's conversation to If I Ruled the World. If you believe that Becky is deserving of this position, please like and share it. If you don't, you're a sucker MC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.